Okay, let's dig into this. Welcome everyone to the deep dive. Today we're looking closely at just one source. It's a piece of communication, really, that gives us a pretty direct window into a certain perspective on, well, media, current events.
And maybe most importantly, the relationship between creators and their audience.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the source is the No Agenda News newsletter. The specific one is from May 17th, 2025, and it was sent to an address, david@thinkandactlocally.com. And our goal here really is to unpack the main messages, try to understand the viewpoint it's putting forward about, the media landscape and the role of audience support, as they see it anyway.
Yeah, and it's definitely not just your standard update. Reading through it, it comes across as, well, quite a passionate appeal. It really lays out how they see the media world and where this particular show, No Agenda, fits into that picture. It feels less like news, more like a direct talk with their listeners.
Strategic, maybe.
So right off the bat, the big message, the thing that hits you first, is a call for money. Financial support.
Yep. They list the ways right away. V4V, PayPal, Stripe. The usual suspects for this kind of thing.
And they don't really beat around the bush about why. They state pretty clearly that support is waning, dropping off.
Right, and they frame that as a major concern for them.
They even give some numbers to kind of back that up. Something like 800,000 listeners and 29,000 newsletter
Which
subscribers.
it sounds huge, right?
It does, but then they express, well, disappointment that what they call a mere 28 people by one measure, and maybe a drop of probably 20 people per day contributing, that this small number isn't stepping up, especially at what they see as a minimum level.
Yeah, it's an interesting point they make there. They try to add some nuance. They say, look, this isn't about the people already giving small amounts. They actually say, you are great for that. The problem, as they frame it, is the overall number of contributors going down, even these smaller ones. They do acknowledge, some folks might genuinely not have $5. But the newsletter kind of suggests that, well, with such a big audience, others should be compensating. And apparently that's not happening.
Okay, so problem stated. Support is down. Then, almost immediately, the newsletter shifts to why they think this is happening. And their explanation is very much tied into their view of the, well, the media and political scene right now.
They pin the blame on what they describe, using some pretty strong words, as anti-establishment socialist pro-war propaganda that has engulfed the news entertainment scene.
Wow. Okay. So that's how they see the mainstream media landscape.
Pretty much. And they don't see it getting better. The newsletter predicts this whole trend is not going to let up, but will increase.
So it's escalating in their view.
Yeah. And they name names, sort of. Key players they see pushing this. They expect big pharma and big ag to team up with the defense industry, the goal being to, and this is their phrase, crank up the resistance machine.
A resistance machine? And what does this machine resist, according to them?
Well, they suggest its only resistance is a resistance to public prosperity. So it's a pretty pointed accusation about the motives there.
Okay. Are there other factors they blame?
Oh, yeah. They also bring up what they call Trump derangement syndrome. You hear that term sometimes. Combine that, they say, with the mainstream media and Marxist nutballs everywhere on TikTok and elsewhere.
Okay.
And this whole mix, in their view, is working to, quote, squeeze the American taxpayer to death.
So it's quite a coalition they're painting there. They mention a specific combo that they find frightening: Marxists, BlackRock, the media, neocons, and the defense industry.
Yeah, that's the lineup they see as shaping things.
All right, so having painted that picture of the outside world, how do they position their own show, No Agenda, in all of this?
Well, this is where they really define their own role. They describe the show as, quote, one of the very few news analysis and media deconstruction broadcasts which fights against this.
Ah, okay. So they're the counterforce, the ones pushing back.
That's the idea. And that positioning leads them right back to the money question. They ask directly, and now support is waning. Why?
Like, it doesn't make sense to them. If they're fighting the good fight, why would support drop?
Exactly. It seems contradictory from their perspective.
And a key part of their argument, something they really emphasize, is their independence.
Very central. Not owned by a big company. No advertisers calling the shots.
Right. Not influenced by, what do they call them? Creepy advertisers or corporate or communist influencers.
Yeah, they cover a lot of bases there. And the reason they can be independent, they claim, is because the show is solely supported by you, meaning the listener.
They even label the show your true independent media. It's very direct.
Very. So shifting slightly, they also tease upcoming topics. It kind of gives you a flavor of their analysis style.
What kind of things?
Well, they mentioned understanding complaints about a Qatari 747. Their take on James Comey maybe putting out a hit on Trump and looking at the stock market recovery.
Okay. A mix of topics.
And there's this one anecdote about Bruce Springsteen reading an anti-Trump diatribe over in the UK. They use that as an example, asking like, "What was that all about? Things are getting weirder and you need no agenda more than ever," sort of showing why their analysis is needed.
And they're quite confident about that analysis, aren't they? They claim it's stuff you will never hear anywhere else.
Pretty bold claim, yeah.
They also take a swipe at the New York Times, commenting on them having to label content.
Right, suggesting that maybe the default assumption for the NYT should be fiction. It's part of their broader media critique, painting mainstream sources as unreliable.
Okay, so after laying all that out, the problems, their role, the value they offer, they get very specific about how people can actually, send them money.
Yep, the practical details. Options like becoming an executive producer or just sending a check. They even give the P.O. box. 309 El Cerrito, CA 94530.
And they mention non-USA checks are okay too.
They definitely encourage recurring donations. They call them sustaining donations, known as subscriptions.
And they list specific amounts.
They do. There's a favorite, $33.33 a month, which they call lucky, and $11.11 a month, once popular, also lucky. Then a $4 a week or 75-cent hour option, they say, is very popular.
Interesting price points.
And even a knighthood layaway plan, $50 a month for 20
Well, that
months.
was like for knighthood, okay.
And if none of that works, there's a do-it-yourself open donation option too. Very flexible.
So lots of ways to contribute.
Definitely. And beyond that main appeal, the newsletter has some regular features too, right?
Yeah, just briefly mention things like memes of the week and hypocrite of the week, standard newsletter stuff for them, it
But
seems.
it's signed off by John C. Dvorak and Adam C. Curry.
Right. And then you've got the usual footer info,
Yeah.
mailing address, copyright, how to unsubscribe, the basics. So let's try and wrap this up. Looking back at this deep dive into the No Agenda News newsletter, the core message seems to be this really potent mix, doesn't it? It's partly a financial appeal, but it's also very much a statement about who they are and what they stand for.
Absolutely. It presents the show as this vital, independent voice pushing back against what they see as really negative forces in media and politics. And that listener support, it's framed as totally essential, not just nice to have, but the absolute foundation of their independence from all those outside influences they mentioned.
Yeah, they tie the money directly to the mission, to their editorial stance. It's a very clear argument.
It really is. And this newsletter, just as one document, is a pretty fascinating glimpse into how one specific media outlet talks to its audience, how it communicates its value, its struggles, its entire worldview, you know?
And how it weaves that need for financial support right into its identity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which kind of leaves us with a final thought, maybe something for you, the listener, to ponder. What does a source like this suggest about the whole relationship between how a media outlet gets funded and the kind of perspective or analysis it ends up offering?
Right. If listener support is the key to independence, as they claim, does that independence then maybe become tied in subtle ways or not so subtle ways to meeting the expectations or reflecting the views of that specific group of listeners?
It's an interesting question about these independent media models. Something to think about.